the God of heaven, bringing into our lives structures of greater strength, anointings of greater power, and a vision of a future unlimited. So today, as we move forward to the 22nd, which is our Christmas Sunday, and the 29th, which is our mission pledge, and then as we move into January, which we all get excited about the new year and new events, and we will have some wonderful, wonderful things happening. On the 12th, the 21st, will be a Ladies United Fellowship at Bratcher's Nursery. And we do appreciate the wonderful plants and et cetera on the front of our building via the nursery of the Bratcher family, et cetera. The 26th of January will be our mission pledges. And thank you for keeping a bigger part of your world alive via anointed men and women, families who have given their life for the wonderful cause of missions. So as we move into the service tonight, let's let God know we thank Him for every breath, but we thank Him for the future that is greater than our past. Tonight, what a worship spirit is in this place, and I don't think it's going to stop raining for a while. You may be seated for a minute or two. I'd like to remind us that there is an upcoming wedding this Friday, Asher and Juliana, and that you don't want to miss if at all possible, because they've been looking forward to this event, and we got to see that. And then I'd like for us to remember that the Lord is wanting us to help with Christmas for Christ offering, and that is coming up. When is that's this coming Sunday, and you have always blessed that cause, and we really genuinely appreciate that. I know that mainly our Christmas for Christ people, ministries, churches count on that, and our church has continually helped that, and so we appreciate that thrill. I'd like for us to pray tonight according to the Word of God. The effectual prayer of a righteous person availeth much. James, the 5th chapter and 16th verse. I would like to remind us that because you don't always see the results of your prayer immediately, it doesn't mean that it's not working. And so faith projects from all the way back to Calvary. It's still working its work, weaving its way to the hungry hearts and to the people that are desiring to be like Jesus, and that faith is going to continue to promote God's will and God's way. So tonight we want to pray for these particular requests and those that you might have. Jack Knight had a hard cath and a stent put in, and we need to believe God with angels to minister to him. Brother Dickey would like to have a special prayer, and Lakin Dickey has been very sick. Beverly Boren, a tumor on her spine, and we have been praying for this, and we are continuing. Jerry Finley had a heart attack, and we are believing that the angels are going to help him. Carson Cheshire, diagnosed with a medical problem. Brother Tiny Freeland, I tell you, we have been blessed. He called me the next day after their church and our church had been praying, and he said, "Pastor, we are doing really good." And then the next day he said, "I'm home." And so it's just been a real joyful week for me, because he is a part of our church, and their entire family has been. Sister Dickey continues to need prayer. Jason Crabb had both hips replaced. Katie Bean, a cyst on her brain. Charles Scarborough, if you remember the wills of prayer that he has done in our city, in our county, for years. And we need to pray for him at this time. He has helped bring about so many healings and so much hope. And so tonight, praying for him. Also, Brother Chad McQueen, one of our ministers in the area, needs a special healing in his body. Kenny Ham is battling cancer. So if you would, let's stand in faith tonight and let's look the devil in the eye and all the sicknesses in the eye and tell them, I'm coming in the blood of Jesus. I'm coming with the authority of the name of Jesus. And I'm coming in the power of the resurrection. We believe in this thing that the healer is in the house. He's in our city. He's in our county. And we are believing for all the darkness to fade and the powers of glory to illuminate paths of freedom and healing and miracles. In the name of Jesus, if you have a need in your body, slip down quickly, because the prayer of faith is alive in this house right now. The glory of the latter rain is available tonight.
Well, that overflows, oh, yes. The God who is heard, hears heard, shall be forevermore. Holy as the Lord, amen, amen. Blessing and honor and Jesus. Oh.
seated, and the ushers are getting ready to receive our offering. I'd like for this wonderful little lady here to give a quick testimony. She could spend the evening telling about how enjoyable it is to be in the pastoral life of Brother and Sister Green. But I'd like for you to be able to testify a minute while the ushers are getting ready.
Yes, of course. One thing that I know, like 110%, is that God chose to bless me with some of the best pastors that I could possibly have. And I don't just say that to say it. Like, in each season of my life, whether that be Paris or whether that be Austin, God chose for me two specific pastors that have been amazing. And, of course, we all know Pastor and Sister Meyer are by far angels sent from heaven is what it feels like. Like, I love them so much. And to be under their leadership and their guidance is something that I don't think I could ever take for granted, especially moving to Austin and then missing you guys so much. Like, you are my church family. And it makes me really excited because now my Paris church family and my Austin church family get to be together tonight. And I am so excited. It makes my heart so joyful. I was thinking on the way here what I felt, and it was the feeling of being overjoyed. And for Brother and Sister Green, I have to say that I have been overjoyed to have the privilege to be at their church. And it's so cool because he is my pastor, but he's also one of my closest friends in Austin. Him and his entire family, I genuinely consider such close friends of mine, as they are also my leaders too. And one thing that I just want to say about him and his entire family is that they are just real people. What you see, what we get to see, whether it be like on a platform or through speaking, whatever you see from either of these people of this family, that is exactly who they are in their home. That is the Green family. And I'm so thankful for you guys. Like, I cannot express. And so the fact that you are here, they've been staying with my family ever since Sunday. And so we've all got to spend a lot of great time together. And I am blessed that not only you guys get to experience this wonderful family, but they get to experience you guys. And I just have so much love for them. So thank you guys so much.
That's awesome.
You know, I think I'm just going to just go ahead and make a couple of comments. And then after the offertory, our evangelist, pastor, friend, joyful ministry is going to come. So I'm going to mention this. Many of you were here, let's see, was that 2016? That on Sunday morning, we had like 24 people receive the Holy Ghost. How many of you were here for that service? It was a phenomenal service, and I will never forget it. And I know he won't ever forget it, because he and I thrill at that kind of environment and that kind of production that God produces in people that have a hungry heart. So immediately after the offertory, we're going to ask our good pastor, friend, and evangelical ministry to just come and minister as God sees fit in your life. We're thrilled that you are here. And we're glad that you're taking good care of one of our good young ladies. God bless you as you give.
You're the God who fights for me, Lord of every victory. God who fights for me, Lord of every victory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You have torn apart the sea. You have led me through the deep. Hallelujah.
Hope you're giving that hand clap to Jesus. Could you do it one more time to Jesus?
Yes.
Hallelujah, Lord, I love you.
Thank you, Jesus.
To feel your presence on a Wednesday night. Hallelujah. Somebody shout hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Praise the name of the Lord. If you want to turn in your Bibles or turn your eyes to the screen, whatever you've prepared to do, Isaiah chapter 55 to our media team. I didn't give them any heads up. We're just going to see if they prayed today. And see if they're in the Holy Ghost. Amen. Isaiah 55, and I'm going to read verses 8 through 11. And to the media team, if they want to try to follow along, that would be awesome. But if it doesn't happen, it's my fault. So don't blame them, all right? But it's so good to be in Paris, Texas. And this is one of, I guess, one of my home away from home. Homes away from home. And some of you know, of course, I have family that have been in this area for many, many years, and my great-grandparents pastored this church when they got off the ark, I think. And, man, it was a long time ago. But J.D. Watson and his wife, and so it's just good to be here, good to be in a place where there's heritage and legacy, and I'm thankful for Brother and Sister Meyer so much and all that they have done in this church. Amen. And I've got my little, well, he's not so little anymore. He's 7, about to turn 8. Got our oldest son, Levi, with us. And we've had us a day. We've had us a day. I don't know if the devil wanted me here or I don't know. I'm not sure if the devil had anything to do with it. But I fell into 2 bodies of water fully clothed today. I mean, for it to happen once, you know, is like a once in a lifetime. But for me, it happened twice. And I got in a fight with a rope swing today, and the rope beat me up. So I got a little scratch here, you know, but God is good anyhow. And then I was walking through the woods with Stevie's brother Jackson and fell into a creek. So I messed up 2 sets of clothes and shoes, and I'm borrowing clothes from your youth pastor. So if this sermon's not anointed, it's his fault. But we're here anyhow. Amen. 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 I can't imagine what Paul looked like when he got off that wrecked ship. Actually, he had shipwrecked several times. I probably look a little bit better off than he was, but I'm thankful for this church. And of course, Stevie, who's been with us now the last year and a half, being at University of Texas, we're so thankful for her. And all that she's provided and brought to the table. And we've had some amazing times together. She's traveled with my wife and I. We took a trip this past summer to the Northwest where we had her minister on several occasions. And y'all just need to know. I told her, I said, okay, on this specific night, we're speaking to a group of hyphen, you know, young adults. And, you know, they had asked me to preach. And I said, so, but I'm going to have you go first. You got about 10 minutes, and then I'll come up and follow you, you know. And like 2 days before, she said, so this is what God's told me to speak about, and I would just want to, you know, talk to you all about it. And we were like, man, that's the will of God. I said, forget the 10 minutes. You know, you just go as long as you want, which I thought would be like 12 minutes. No, I'm good. 35 minutes later. Honestly, 35 minutes later, I was like, please don't stop, because it was so on point. And I'm not exaggerating this in any degree. When she finished, that entire room was on their face.
laid out speaking in tongues, slain in the Holy Ghost for over an hour as the presence of God just swept into that service. And I'm just so thankful that God has brought her to us. And thank you for preparing her and training her and then sending her out. And we've done that a couple times at our church where we've trained people, and then we send them out. I'm thinking they finally got to where they can help us, and they leave. Man, that's like raising kids, you know. They finally get to where they can do something on their own, and then they leave, you know. What's that all about? But it's all about the will of God and the kingdom of God. Amen. So it's good to be with you, and I just want to share this word with you tonight. I'm a Bible preacher, so I don't come with a lot of different anecdotes, but I do come with a lot of word and scripture tonight. Isaiah 55 and verse 8, God is speaking, saying, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts." And everybody said, "Thank you, Jesus." He said, "My thoughts are not your thoughts. Your thoughts are not my thoughts. Your ways are not my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways." In other words, he said, "I'm just a whole lot smarter than you, and my thoughts than your thoughts." And he goes on and says, "For as the rain cometh down and the snow from heaven, and it returneth not thither, but watereth the earth and maketh it bring forth in bud. When the rain falls upon the seed and the ground, it forces the fruit, it forces the seed to burst forth, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish. It shall accomplish that which I please." Or in other words, my word will accomplish the thing that pleases me. "And it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it." So with these verses I've just read to you, I really want to talk to you on the subject. I guess my title, if I have to give a title, would be "Get Ready and Stay Ready." Everybody say, "Get ready and stay ready." Lord, I love you and I thank you for your presence and your spirit. And now we turn the page into the time of service where we go into your word, Lord, and your word is forever settled in heaven. Let it be forever settled in our hearts and in this church, and manifest yourself however you choose to do so through your word. And as we respond by faith tonight in Jesus' name, and everybody said amen. You may be seated in Jesus' name. Amen, amen, amen. One more time, everybody say, "Get ready and stay ready." Get ready and stay ready. It's easier to get ready. It's much more difficult to stay ready. It's easier to clean your room. It's much more difficult to keep your room clean. I got two rights. Everybody else said, "I'm not blowing my cover." It is so easy for me to get in there and clean my closet and clean my room. It is so difficult every day to hang it up the same place I took it off the rack. It's so difficult to keep something clean. It's easy to go on a jog once. It's easy to go to the gym once. As we're approaching that New Year's resolution, you're preparing your gym membership. Why do you think they give you, 3 weeks free, 4 weeks free at the beginning of every year? Because they know they got you. They know that you want to get ready. But they also know you ain't going to stay ready. So they're going to take your money and you're going to look 2 years down the road and realize, oh, they're still drawing money, $58 a month. I hadn't been there in 14 months. Because even the gyms know that you can get ready, but you struggle to stay ready. Amen. And I don't want to bring an indictment. I really do feel a word of faith for this church tonight. Amen. So I'm not bringing any condemnation or judgment, but it is just the reality of humanity that it is difficult for us to maintain the task. And it is difficult for us to stay the course. As even Pastor Meyer said, he couldn't have said it better. I could not have said it better myself when he made a remark concerning the idea of how difficult it is sometimes to pray prayers and not see the answer to that prayer. Anybody been there? You pray prayers. I was just talking just in the last couple of days with the Hoskins family and others, and I was talking about as 2.5 years ago, getting closer to 3 years, that we planted a church on the southwest side of Austin. And as an evangelist, you know, and I appreciate you bringing, you know, attention to that service that was 8 years ago, you know, and to come into this service and come into the vineyard that I have not sown in, come in, you know, to the field that I have not sown in. And I had not prayed one prayer in this church. I have not taught one Bible study in this church. I have, yes, I had a great grandfather that used to pastor here and did everything he could to build this church. But there's been other leaders and yourself who have been sowing seeds and praying prayers and spending time in a closet of intercession. And then here comes an evangelist and he begins to pluck all the fruit and 24, you know, apples off the branch, you know. And it's easy for people to say, wow, look at that evangelist, you know. And I believe in the fivefold ministry. Please don't get me wrong. I'm thankful for the fivefold ministry. But don't discredit what you have done in this church and in this city and in this region. Don't discredit your value. Don't discredit what you have contributed. Don't discredit your time in prayer. Have you been perfect? There's not one of us that have been perfect. There is nobody. I read this yesterday in a leadership book, and it talked about intentions and I don't have it in my notes, but it basically said that there is nobody that has set out with good intentions that has not suffered some sort of failure and looked back and said, "Man, I could have done that a little bit better." And we have all come short of His glory. We have all fallen. We have all sinned. We have all failed. So we can either sit here at the end of 2024 and look at the things we did not accomplish, or we can look back and say, hey, at least we're still here. You know what I'm saying? At least we're still. There is something of a testimony to be able to say, at least we're still here. I probably could have shouted a little bit louder. I probably could have prayed a little bit longer. I probably could have gone on a few more fasts. I probably could have supported the church a little bit better. I probably could have given a little bit more. But at least I'm still here. And what's difficult about that, what's difficult about that spiritual tenacity and perseverance is what Pastor Myers said, is when you pray and you pray and you pray and you pray, and yet you don't see the fruition of that prayer. And so as an evangelist, it was often that I would come into a church that had been praying and praying and praying. And oftentimes those prayers have gone on not just for weeks or months or even years, but even decades. And then an evangelist comes in just like they're supposed to do. And then they begin to pluck the fruit of which you have sown the seed. And what it is a fullness of time moment, that prayers that you have prayed, even as a child in the Sunday school department of this church, and prayers that your parents and prayers that grandparents have prayed, and they're not even here anymore. Like my own great-grandfather, he probably prayed many times, many years did he pray, "Lord, let there be a Sunday where 20 people get the Holy Ghost." And I don't know, I'd have to maybe get into the archives to see, did he ever see that prayer answered? But yet, in 2016, he wasn't here in the flesh, but he might, I don't know, I just, like, this isn't in the Bible. I'm not getting into false doctrine or witchcraft, but just in my own figment of my imagination, I just like to think that just before God, not Chris Green and not even you, God poured out His Spirit that day. I just like to believe that God said, "Hey, JD, get over here. Remember all them prayers you prayed? Remember all them Bible studies you taught that didn't come out like you wanted it to? Hey, take a look over the balcony of paradise. Does not the Bible say that we are surrounded about by a great cloud of witnesses? It's possible that God allowed those pioneers of Paris, Texas, in this church who prayed many hours of prayers and didn't see it like they wanted to see it. But God said, hey, get over here and look what I'm about to do. I'm about to pour out my Spirit, and 24 people are going to be baptized with the Holy Ghost and fire." And if that was the case, I don't believe that any of those elders that had passed, that God allowed them to see that outpouring, I don't think any of them said, "Well, I wish you would have let me see it down there. Why didn't you let me see it back then? I don't think there was any resentment nor bitterness nor regret. I think there was just a praise that began to roar from their innermost being. Praise, praise, praise and glory and blessing to the King eternal. Hey, to the King of kings and Lord of lords. Who cares when it happens as long as it happens? But the Bible says that his ways are above our ways and his thoughts are above our thoughts. And he almost puts this little jab in there. He says, think about how high the heaven is. The heavens are above the earth. And somebody get their measuring stick out and starts measuring. Oh, all right, how high are the heavens above the earth? There is no measuring stick long enough to measure the distance between heaven and earth. He's saying, my thoughts are so far beyond your thoughts. You can't even measure it. And so what I'm trying to say is that God knows best. We don't know best. I didn't get much response right there because it's difficult. It's difficult to admit, you know, I really don't know best. Every parent wants to believe, I know what's best for my children. And every child wants to believe, I know what's best for my parents. I know what's best. I know what's best. But yet God's ways are above our ways. I don't know if in the flesh or in the humanity of Jesus, in the humanity of Jesus, I don't know if it was really in his burden, desire, or plan to get baptized at the age of 30 and then go into the wilderness for 40 days on a fast and then be tempted by the devil for three different occasions. I don't know if that in his flesh, I believe his flesh was just like my flesh. And I've never been excited about a fast. I get excited about a feast. I don't get excited about a fast. So I don't think Jesus in his flesh, he was saying, "Woo! I can't wait to have migraines. I can't wait to be irritable, and I can't wait to be tempted, and I can't wait to be attacked, and I can't wait for the devil to come out." I don't think he was like that. I think he was just like us. I think that there was some consternation in his spirit. He did say at one time, the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. But you see, he had a submission to the Holy Spirit when the Spirit said, we're going to the wilderness. You're not going to go perform wonders until you go submit to the wilderness and you get this flesh under submission. And Jesus goes into the wilderness and he begins to fast and pray and be tempted of the devil on three different occasions. And the Bible says that he came out of that wilderness in the power of the Holy Ghost. And in verse 16 of Luke 4, it says that he came to Nazareth where he had been brought up. He said, man, I was raised in that Sunday school department at the UPC of Paris, Texas. And I've been traveling, I've been preparing, I've been baptized, I'm ready, I'm called, I'm chosen, I'm anointed. I'm going to start my ministry in the place where I was brought up. And he goes back to that church, that synagogue. And on the Sabbath day, he stood up to read. He said, I'd like to read a verse of scripture. And everybody's like, oh, great, the carpenter's son who thinks he's something special. And Mary's always talking about how great he is. And it says, and there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written. He said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor, and he has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, and to set at liberty them that are bruised, and to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. What was he doing? He had been in a season of getting ready. And when he had been in a season of preparation, he stepped into that season of demonstration and said, hand me that book and let me tell everybody what happens when you get ready. He said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. You see, you can't ever spend even one moment in sacrifice, consecration, and sanctification. You can't spend one moment in prayer without there being some sort of addition of God's Spirit and blessing and favor and anointing upon your spirit. He had spent the better part of 40 days preparing, and he comes out saying, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, and he's anointed me to preach the gospel. He has anointed me to bring deliverance to the captives, and he's anointed me to bring healing to the brokenhearted. Verse 20, it says, he closed the book and he gave it unto the minister and sat down, and the eyes of all of them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him. And he began to say to them, this day is the scripture fulfilled in your ears. But just like Brother Meyer said, they didn't see what they had been praying for. He said, this day, all these miracles are fulfilled. And they're looking around. No, he's still blind, and my aunt's still dead, and I got a brother who's still in captivity, and I got a sister who's still depressed, and a dad who's still addicted. What do you mean it's all fulfilled? And Bible says in verse 22, and all bear him witness and wondered at the gracious words which proceeded out of his mouth, and they said, isn't this just Joseph's son? Whew. But you see, he had tapped into the ways that are above the ways of man. Paul tells us in Ephesians 6 and 10, he says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. He says, get ready. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles or the methods of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. He says, wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God. Get ready. Somebody say, get ready. That you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand, stand therefore. I'm preaching to somebody. It's time to pick up that shield. It's time to get that helmet of salvation. It's time to dust off that breastplate of righteousness and that sword of the Spirit. Come on, get ready and stay ready. He said, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, take the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Paul said, get ready and stay ready. I'm preaching to this church a prophetic word today. Get ready and stay ready. Get ready, because God said, I will open up the floodgates of heaven and pour you out a blessing that your heart cannot even contain. Is anybody ready for that kind of outpouring? Is anybody looking for it? Is anybody on the prowl? Is anybody searching for it? Is anybody praying for it? He wants to do it. Woo. I used to laugh, and we still laugh at it, when Stevie came to our church and we said, what church do you come from? You know, what church what's your home church? She said, the UPC. And we're like, we are part of the UPC. She's like, I go to the UPC. We're like, the UPC. But we're all a part of the UPC. And we would laugh at it, you know, like, what do you mean the UPC? She's like, the United Pentecostal Church. I'm like, but which United? It was like one of those Abbott and Costello routines, you know, who's on first, what's on second kind of thing, you know. I go to the United, we're all in the United Pentecostal Church. Which one do you go to? But let me just say something that you already know. I'm not here to give you any revelation tonight. I have to come back. You can put your scuba gear on next time and we'll go deep. But tonight we're just going to give you a little word of faith. That God's not looking for a UPC church. He's not looking for a UPS church. He's not looking for any kind of name church. He's looking for a hungry church. He's not looking for the sign on the parking lot. He's looking for the hunger and thirsting in your spirit. He said, for blessed is he which do hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. I preach holiness. I preach separation. I preach sanctification. I preach, hear ye, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. I preach Acts 2:38. I preach Acts 4:12. But I'm telling you this, he's looking for somebody that just says, Jesus, I'm hungry. I'm hungry for you. Is there anybody at the end of this year that says, I've got a spiritual discontent that says, I'm done with average church service. I'm done with just going to Bible study. I want to be filled with the Holy Ghost and used by the Holy Ghost and led by the Holy Ghost. I want to be hungry again like I used to be. I feel to talk to somebody here. Let me just ask you a question. When's the last time you just got slapped out drunk in the Holy Ghost? You forgot about the schedule. You forgot about, well, they got one more song to sing. And she's been practicing her solo. And we got to get the announcements. And we got to get to the offering. Forget all that. I got to get to the well that never runs dry. I got to get to the... I got to get to the fountain of life. I got to get to Jesus. I was preaching over in Canada for a youth camp, and it was the second night of that youth camp, and all of a sudden this young man messed up my sermon, messed up the whole service. Man, I called the ushers. I said, get this guy out of here. He's messing up my sermon. I was 5 minutes into my notes, and he stands up and starts scooting down the aisle. It's a youth camp, you know, second night, and he's scooting out of the aisle. I thought, first he's got to go to the bathroom, you know, and he gets to the center aisle, and he comes this way, running up to the altar. I thought, hey, man, I hadn't given the altar call yet. You don't know our schedule. You don't know our traditions. No, I didn't do any of that. I was intrigued. What is he doing? And he came running up to the altar. I will now tell you what I didn't know in that moment. I found out later after the service that this was a first-time visitor, a young man, 16 years old. His friend had invited him at school to church many times, and he was finally allowed to go to youth camp. The reason why his parents were a little hesitant to allow him to go to a Pentecostal church is because they were raised in the United Pentecostal Church. And before their son was born, they backslid. And now they were basically atheists. And they weren't going to church at all. They didn't even believe because they had church hurt. And they said, how could there be a God and allow us that would allow us to suffer church hurt like this? And how could there be a God if this so-called man of God could stab me in the back like this? And so they walked away from God. But several years later, God sent a young teenage Pentecostal Holy Ghost filled boy to witness to their son. You got to come to my church. And they wouldn't let him go. Finally, they let him go to youth camp. Big mistake. Big mistake they made to let that boy go to youth camp. Because on that second night, he couldn't wait anymore. Something grabbed a hold of him. And he came running down the aisle. And he stood all by himself. And he lifted his hands. He didn't know protocol. He didn't know Acts 2:38. He just knew these words, his exact words, and I quote, God, I'm hungry. And before I could even take 3 steps to lay my hands on him, God came down from eternity and filled him with the Holy Ghost, speaking in other tongues. We baptized him in Jesus' name. He called his mom and dad that night and said, you got to get to this youth camp. I just got the Holy Ghost. I just got baptized. His parents came the next night, and that young man prayed for his dad until God refilled his dad with the Holy Ghost. But what you couldn't see is for 20 years there was relatives who were praying for their backslidden son and their backslidden daughter-in-law for 20 years, and they didn't see them come back to church. But what they couldn't see is God was raising up a 12-year-old and a 13-year-old. Now he's 14, 15, and he
was going to be the catalyst for the restoration. What you don't see is there is an invisible hand of omnipotence. There is an invisible hand of omniscience. He knows all things. He knows all things. And he can weave together a divine tapestry of revival and harvest. Oh, lift your hands and pray in the Holy Ghost for just a few seconds. Let the Holy Ghost have a few moments to minister in this place. I was asked to be in the district of Missouri for some Holy Ghost crusades, and just a couple of months ago, woo, I feel the touch of the Lord in this place. I was so thankful that I got to do some Holy Ghost crusades in North America, because you usually go to third world countries, but it's happening here in North America. Somebody said amen to that. And so we went to Missouri and we started preaching across the different regions of Missouri all in 1 week. And long story short, God filled over 150 people with the Holy Ghost in the state of Missouri in 1 weekend. And thankful for that. And I just want to share this highlight. I guess it's all a highlight, but... And I was in one of the services, and I noticed a lady was talking while I was preaching, and it wouldn't stop. She is jabbering in somebody's ear like that, and it kind of got on my nerves. And then, thankfully, the discerning of spirits came over me, or maybe a word of knowledge. I don't know. One of them gifts of the Spirit came over me, and I thought, I think she's interpreting. I thought she was interrupting. And then I realized she's interpreting, because she would stop talking when I was talking and look right at me, and then I'd start talking, and then she would go, right back to that person's ear. And I finally, I'm a little slow. And I said, she's interpreting. Well, she was interpreting for her mom. They're from Brazil. And her mom had been wanting to come go to a Pentecostal church. Her daughter refused. They got an invitation to go to this Holy Ghost crusade. And she talked to her daughter. She said, look, I know you don't want to go. She said, so you don't even have to participate, but I need you to go because I don't speak English and I need someone to interpret. So will you at least do that for your mom? Go and interpret for me. Okay, mom, I'll go with you and interpret for you. Oh, but you see, she was preaching a sermon herself, that interpreter. She was preaching a word of salvation. She was preaching Acts 2:38, and she didn't even know it. She was the vessel. The word was flowing through, and I watched as I was preaching. I mean, it was like a hammer to an anvil or somebody chiseling something out of a stone. Like all of a sudden, the image was coming to fruition, and you can see she's starting to get emotional while she's interpreting to her mom. And she's looking at me and tears are starting to stream and she's struggling to interpret. And when I gave the altar call, they came up and I found out then that her mom for several years, for nearly 10 years, had had something in her abdomen that felt like needles and like knives stabbing her. And the doctors couldn't figure out what it was. They thought it was some form of rare cancer, but they couldn't diagnose it specifically. And so she came to that altar that day and we began to pray for them, and it was her daughter that first received the Holy Ghost speaking in tongues. And then I said, now lay your hand upon your mother. And that girl laid her hand on her mom, and her mom received the Holy Ghost, and then she started shouting in that Brazilian language, the pain is gone, The pain is gone. The pain is gone. Why? Because his ways are higher than our ways. No, I'm all for doctors. I go to doctors. I go to mechanics to fix my car. I go to doctors to fix my bones. Oh, but when the way, when the method, when the problem is too big for the physician, I know a Jesus whose ways are higher than my ways. It was the very next service. It was the last service of that crusade, and everybody was really fired up for that last service. And I mean, it was jamming. It was one of those red hot Pentecostal services. People bouncing off the walls, you know. And man, I love those kind of services. I hate a dead church, and I see some of that in Pentecostal services. In fact, it's happened in my church a few times, and I just can't stand it. Why would there ever be a dead service when we serve a God that's alive? Alive, and he defeated death and hell and the grave. And it's because the reason why there's dead services is because we get discouraged and we get disillusioned and we get full of doubt when we don't see it happen when we want to see it. But I remember going up to that pulpit, and I couldn't even hardly preach a sermon that night. People were just ready. I mean, they were almost foaming at the mouth, you know, just ready. Woo! And like somewhere in the middle of that sermon, it just began to erupt, and I saw the moment for what it was. I said, they don't need any more preaching. You know, a preacher knows when to preach and when to stop preaching. And I said, the moment's ready. God's ready to do something. And so I started exhorting in the mic. Come on, let's just lift our hands and worship God. Come on, pray. And while I was doing that in the mic, they were responding. And I'd put the mic down like this. It would go completely silent. And you think, that's never happened here. Oh, it happens everywhere. And I'd get the mic back and I'd say, come on, let's praise him again, praise him again. And as long as I was in the mic, they were praising. But I'd get it out of the mic, the cheerleaders out of the mic, and I'm trying to praise God, and they would just die back down. Did it a couple more times. Come on, let's praise God. Come on, give it all you got. And they're like, ah! Put the mic down, and I'm praising God, and just, phew. And I mean, and it was one of those words that just sounded like, that's a little weird, God. That's crazy. I've never thought of that. Well, my ways are higher than your ways. That's why you never thought of that. And I felt like the Lord spoke to me and said, the enemy knows your tendencies. And he said, there are demonic spirits in this service, and they are not intimidated nor threatened by what you're doing. He said, the reason is because you're doing the same thing you always do. And he's watched you for a long time, and he knows when to duck. He knows when to dodge. He knows when to bow. He said, every time you get in the mic, he said, they begin to praise. The enemy steps back and lets them praise. Go ahead, praise. When you put the mic down, he just steps right back in there. He said, the enemy, your opponent, knows your tendencies. If you know anything about sports, you know the best athletes are the ones who watch film and study their opponent's tendencies. Like in a boxing match, they will watch hundreds of hours of film, and they will watch for their tendencies, watch for their opponent's tendencies to know which punch is coming. And he said, the enemy knows what's coming. He said, tell the people to do something they've never done before. I said, all right. I feel like the Holy Ghost said, when you tell them to do something they've never done before, those demonic spirits, they're going to be defeated in this place. So I thought, okay, this is going to be a little crazy. I grabbed the mic. I said, look, I feel the Lord just said, do something right now you've never done before in worship to him. Ready, go. I mean, I didn't know what to expect. I thought, you know, there might just be some of this, and some of this, and some of this, and I was going to have to rally the troops again and say, come on, you've done that before. But it just was one time. I said, do something you never done before. Go. The place erupted. I mean, people took off running. People were rolling. People were flipping around. You can call it whatever you want to call it. Call it emotion. You can call it, it's in the flesh. I tell you what it is for me. It's just a desire to get the attention of the king. And if he's the king, then if I'm going to get his attention, I can only get his attention when I do what he wants me to do. Sometimes that's kneel and just pray and in silence. Sometimes that's just sitting in a rocking chair with coffee. That's my best. My favorite request from the Lord, just sit in that recliner and drink some coffee. Anybody like that kind of prayer? But there's sometimes that God says, no, you've been doing that a little while. I want you to do something radical that will humble your flesh. And it's not always, it's not because God answered my prayer that I'll dance and shout and roll. And it's because I'm trying to get his attention and I feel the Lord saying, come on, give me everything you've got. And when I said that, the place just erupted. And I let it go for probably about 5 or 10 minutes. And I thought, we need to pray for people to get the Holy Ghost. So I grabbed the mic and I was about to give instruction for people to come and get the Holy Ghost. I came down the first step just like this. And I looked this way and it was set up just like this. And this lady comes running down this aisle. Brother Green, Brother Green, Brother Green, come quickly, hurry, follow me, follow me. I said, where are we going? She said, this young man back here is having a seizure. And I got to be honest with you, my flesh responded in my head. And I thought, I got to get my phone and call 911. And I thought, well, wait a second, let's go pray with him. And I felt the Holy Ghost say, I'm going to heal this young man. And then I'm going to send miracles all over this service. So I'm walking back like this and I'm looking for a young man that's having a seizure. I get about right here. She says, that's him. And I notice a young man who's in a lady's dress, high-heeled, knee-high boots, earrings in his ears. I said, is this him? She said, yes, this is him. He has just recently taken his first steps into the transgender lifestyle. And I look, and there is foam in his mouth. His eyes are rolled back, and he's just shaking. And the Holy Ghost said, this is a demonic spirit manifesting itself right now. And everybody around him was screaming, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. The Lord said, you don't have to scream. He said, just talk with authority to that demonic spirit. I said, everybody just be quiet. And I just simply laid my hand on his head and I just said, in the name of Jesus, I command this demonic spirit to come out of him. Instantly, he lifted up his head and his eyes came back. His mouth cleared up and he looked at me and he said, I'm all right. What do I do now? I said, now say the words, I love you, Jesus. He lifted up his hands and said, I love you, Jesus. He said it 3 times, I love you, Jesus. And then began to speak in other tongues as God filled him with the Holy Ghost. I let him pray in the Holy Ghost by himself back there with other people praying with him. I come back up to the front and I look right here and there's another lady having a demonic manifestation. She's got her eyes rolled back and she's got her mouth foaming like this. And I mean, she's like having a seizure and you could see a demonic presence all over her. I couldn't get to her because between me and her, there's probably 25 people right here. And I just simply stood there. I don't have some secret magic powers. I've got the same Holy Ghost, the same Jesus name that you've got. And I thought, well, I can't get to her, but I'm just going to speak it right here. In the name of Jesus, come out of her. In the name of Jesus, I command that demonic spirit to let go of her. She didn't even know I was praying for her. And she stopped shaking. Her eyes came back and cleared up. And she lifted up her hands. And I told people, I said, pray with her. And they laid hands on her and she received the Holy Ghost speaking in tongues. I got up to the platform and I called them out. Spencer, and I forget her name. I said, Spencer, get down here. And I called her up. I brought them up to the platform, this young man in a dress and this girl who's just been delivered by a demonic spirit. And I said, God just delivered them of a demonic spirit and filled them with the Holy Ghost. When I said that, 15 more people came running down and God filled all of them with the gift of the Holy Ghost. God filled all of them with the Holy Ghost. He filled all of them with the Holy Ghost. And we baptized every one of them in the name of Jesus. I just feel like somebody ought to jump to your feet and lift up your hands and say, yes, I believe it. I want it. I'm hungry for it. I'm ready for it. Do it here, God. Sata rabaye. remain standing. And if you don't mind, I don't feel like we're going to have any music. We're just going to have an impartation of prayer for everybody in this service, online and present. Just keep the live stream running if you can for those that are watching online tonight. Let me give you last verse, Galatians 6 and 8. Can you get Galatians 6, 8 and 9 for me, please? Galatians 6 and 8, and it says, "For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption." I've seen this manifest all throughout our movement and even in my church, because we have sown to the flesh and all of a sudden there's problems of the flesh that begin to pop up and you think, what's going on? It's because we're sowing more to the flesh than we are to the spirit. But it goes on and says, "But he that soweth to the spirit shall of the spirit reap everlasting life." Verse 9, "And let us not be weary in well-doing." I get so mad at this verse. I'm telling you, I've just about cursed at this verse so many times this year, because I have been more weary in 24 than I have ever been in my life. And I'm saying, God, I'm well doing. I'm trying to lead a church. I'm raising a family, God. I'm giving everything I've got, and I'm weary. He says, "Don't let us become weary in well doing, for in due season," or in other words, in the right moment, at the right time. Everybody say, "At the right time." It says, "We shall reap." I wish everybody in this church would shout those three words. Ready? "We shall reap." Shout it again. "We shall reap." Shout it again. "We shall reap." Here it is. If we faint not, Pastor Meyer. If we faint not, turn to your neighbor and say, "Don't faint." Can I tell you what that word means? Everybody thinks it means, you know, like you see one of these old time movies and, oh, somebody say, "Don't faint." The word is ekluo in the Greek, which means to loosen up. Stevie knows we've had some, her and I and some of our leaders and young people, we've had some talks. Maybe we just need to loosen things up a little bit around here. Maybe we don't need to be so tight. We're a bunch of tightwads sometimes. We just need to loosen up. It says, no, you'll reap if you don't loosen up. Ekluo, to loosen up, to relax, to dissolve, to weaken. Here it is. To have one's strength relaxed. To be immobilized through exhaustion. To grow weak and grow weary. To become dejected, losing confidence, to lose hope. What sticks out to me is this definition that says to become immobile. Immobile. Lack of movement because of exhaustion, hopelessness, dejection, doubt. To loosen up. I just want to release a word of faith in this place. It was Jesus that looked at Simon Peter and said, look, you're going to make a mistake. You're going to fumble the ball. You're going to deny me three times. He said, no! I'm not going to get weary in well-doing. I'm going to die with you, Jesus. He said, no, before the cock crows. You're going to deny that you even know me. But I'm going to use you to be the first Pentecostal preacher. So here's what I'm going to do for you. What did he say? He said, but I have prayed for you. I wish I had time to preach another sermon. I wish I could tell the devil, hey, devil, watch out when Jesus starts a prayer meeting. Jesus said, but I have prayed for you. What did he say? I prayed that your faith fail not. Here it is. Here's the whole sermon. He said, and when, somebody shall win, shall win. He didn't say if you're converted. What is that word converted? We're all converted. That word literally means to come back. He didn't say, he said, you are going to fail, but you are going to come back. You are going to sin, but you are going to be restored. You are going to, oh, you are going to fumble, but you're going to be restored. He said, when you come back, he said, you're going to strengthen your brother. You're going to bring somebody with you. That's going to be the revival and the harvest. He said, you're going to fail. That's the equation. You're going to stumble, but you're going to return and say, Jesus, hey, Jesus, there is no salvation into any other name but the name of Jesus. You're going to stand up and say, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. I feel like this last scripture is for this church. He said, be not weary in well doing, for in due season, at the right time, you will reap if you do not loosen up, if you do not relax, if you do not dissolve, if you do not retreat, if you do not become immobilized due to your weariness and hopelessness. I don't want you to blow your cover, but there's power in transparency and confession. Is there anybody that says, man, I've been weary in 24? Am I preaching to somebody at the UPC that's been a little weary in well-doing? If I'm talking to you, would you lift up your hands and say, Jesus, you're talking to me, and I receive it by faith. I've been weary this year, God, but I've got a made-up mind. I'm not going to faint. I've been tired. I've been weary. I've been beat up. I've been bruised, but I'm still a believer. I'm still a tongue talker. I'm still a prophet of God. I'm still a woman of God. I still got intercession in my bones. I still got a travail in my soul. I still got a song in my spirit. I still got a shout in my soul. I've been weary, but I refuse to faint. I've been weary, but I'm gonna stay ready. Because there's a reaping coming. There's a reaping coming. I wish you would grab the hand of a weary brother or sister beside you and march up to this altar tonight and say, let's go to the altar. There's an impartation here tonight. There's an impartation here tonight. We have been weary. Let's not beat around the bush. We have been weary, but we've and endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. Joy comes in the morning. I'm going to ask y'all to do something a little bit different right now. I don't want to make anybody mad. I just want you to get out of your flesh. If you've come this far, you're willing to go a little bit further. I want you to grab the hand of the person you came down to the front with, and I want you to get your toes up on this altar. Get all the way up to the altar as close as you can. Don't let there be a space. I know it's just a piece of carpet. I know it's just some plywood and some 2x4s, but it's more than that. This is the sanctified, sacred place where we have designated as the place of response to the word of God by faith. And if my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and turn from their wicked ways and seek my face, then I will hear from heaven. I will forgive their sin. I will heal their land.
Ha rabala ba yele le bo sondo rebaka.
I want you to lift up that hand you got a hold of right now and lift up your other hand. Every hand be lifted. Every voice be lifted. And by the authority of the word of God and by the power that's in the name of Jesus, I release an impartation of the gift of faith. Your faith shall not fail. Your faith shall not fail. We shall reap. We shall be ready. We shall be ready. We shall be ready. We shall lift our eyes unto the hills. We shall put our hand to the plow. We shall lift our head and look up, for our redemption draweth nigh. We shall be ready to reap, for we shall not faint. Now lift your voice as I step away from the microphone. Lift your voice. Come on, I want you to close your eyes. And I want you to go back in time a little bit to whenever it was that God sowed that seed of faith, that word of promise into your spiritual system. And there's some seasons of life that we don't like. And God said, when the rain pours and when the snow falls, there's some things that go wrong when it begins to rain and when it begins to snow. It's not an easy season when the rain is pouring and the snow is falling. But God said, that is my prescription for the beginning and the fruition of my promise. When my rain falls, when I put you through a storm, when I bring a season that's not so savory, when I bring a season that is not so easily enjoyed, when I bring a season of trouble and travail, that is my equation, he said. He said, that's my word going forth, and it shall not return unto me void, but it's going to make that seed burst forth. It's going to make the promise begin to shake under the ground, under the soil, where nobody can see it, but you've been watering it. You've been sowing, you've been nurturing, you've been praying, but it shall burst forth. Now, I want you, with your eyes closed, I want you to step forward in time. And I want you to see whatever that is, if it's a loved one coming back to God, if it's a marriage being restored, whatever that promise is, I want you to see that leaf beginning to bud. I want you to see that root beginning to grow out into a stem, into the tree trunk, and all of a sudden the fruit begins to yield. And I want you to give God just a little shout, a rejoice, a praise, a worship that says, God, I should have believed you all along. I should have never doubted you. I should have trusted the process. Would you just take a few minutes and lift up a praise unto the King of Glory, whose ways are above our ways? Come on, let that just roll out for just a moment.
Thank you.